Well, once again, it's wonderful to have Brother Matthew Thompson here with us to share the work that he's getting ready to go and do there in the Indonesia area. He'll tell you all about it. We did talk a little bit last night about how the service was going to go, and we came to this conclusion. We're just going to allow the Lord to lead in however which way, because he said he didn't know where he was going to ask the questions, if he'd do it before or after. I said, you just follow the Lord, and however he wants you to do it, we're good with that. And so he's going to come and share. And what did you call that? You mixed your... Go ahead.
Oh, a presentation.
It's a presentation. So his message is going to be in the presentation. And so I don't know if I've ever heard one of those before, but I'm looking forward to it. And then also to hear with what the Lord's going to do for the Thompson family and the people of Indonesia. And we thank the Lord for that. So Brother Matthew, without further ado, come and share with us.
Thank you. Good morning. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 27. I'd just like to start off by saying thank you to Northwood Baptist Church for your support of us. You supported us before you even knew us. You just knew of the work that we were going to be doing and the work that one of our mentors, Chase Reynolds, has done. And you wanted to be a part of something like that. So we're thankful for that, and I'm excited to get to share our work with y'all and excited that God gave us the opportunity to get to be with here, y'all here and look at God's word and then also allow us to get to share what God's doing in Indonesia and among the world and how you can be a part of it as well. So this morning we're going to be talking about God opening doors. God opening doors. Now, I want y'all to think about this real quick, and this is maybe a little silly, but I want you to think about it. So if you were to come to church this morning, and you got to the door, and then, and it wouldn't open, the door's locked, what would you have done? Maybe you would have got in your car, you would have thought maybe you're not having church today, maybe you would have thought it was Saturday, I don't know, but you wouldn't have had access to come into the church. Now, I want you to think about, and this is maybe a little silly too, but what if your Bible had a belt around it with a lock that couldn't be opened? You wouldn't have access to it. You couldn't read it. And what if there was nobody that could speak your language, that could tell you about Jesus? God opens doors. And God wants to open the doors of the gospel for every people group all around the world. And he opens doors in our lives to be able to share the gospel with people here and to make disciples of the world. And that starts here and it goes from here as well. And I just want to share something exciting too. Y'all might not have known this about y'all's city, but Sarah Lee Thompson was born in Colombia. So that's a random thing. We had a very heavy moment there, but I just thought we'd lighten it up and let you know she was born here. So we're in good company. So I've always thought Colombia is a good place because of that. So as we get into this passage, we're going to look at three different passages this morning that talk about God opening the doors for the gospel. Our work is Bible translation work and missionary work. So where we're going is Papua, Indonesia. It's just north of Australia. It's on the island of New Guinea, the western half of the island. So the eastern side is Papua New Guinea. The western side is Papua, Indonesia, and we're going to Papua, Indonesia. We just got back from a survey trip in October. We went and we got to get language school set up for there. When we first get to Indonesia, we'll be learning the Indonesian language. And then we'll be praying about which people group that doesn't have God's word. There are 150 in Papua that we'll be working with. And then God will lead us to them. We've went to school and got education in linguistics and in Bible translation to do this work. And once God shows us the group we'll work with, we'll start to learn their language. And that will take a good amount of time, probably. We'll work on it for a year, 2 years, and then hopefully we'll get to start in translation, but we'll always be learning. We know that we can't ever learn it as good as what they know it, but we're going to work with the people to translate the gospel into their language and then God's word. Most our visa paperwork is what we're waiting on at this point. God's provided, and we have 90 to 95% of our monthly support to be able to go. God's opening doors. And then God's provided us with a visa sponsor that's getting us our visa to be able to go into the country. And then once that visa is done, that will be, once the process is ready, then we'll leave. And it looks like that could be done in sometime in April. Please pray with us that it would be done by April. It could take a little longer. We don't really know at this point. We're just waiting for God to give us the green light, Indonesia to give us the green light, and then we'll go and start that journey. So please look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. I want you to see in each of the verses that we read this morning how God opens a door for the gospel. And there are a little bit of differences in the different ways that he opens doors in these passages, but then also maybe how we can respond because God opens doors. So this morning I want you to know God opens doors, and I want you to know that there's ways that we should respond because of God opening doors. So as we look at the passage, please be thinking about that. It says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Now this is Paul and Barnabas had returned to Antioch, where they had been sent out to do missionary work. And they got back to them, and then they were telling them about the things that God had done. And they told them about how God had opened the doors of faith to the Gentiles. Now the first thing that I want you to notice is who gets the credit in this? God. Now, whenever God opens a door, we should not get the credit. The credit goes to God. Whenever doors are open to faith and people are saved, that is not a work of man. That is a work of God. God convicts people of sin and works in their hearts to draw them to come to faith. And then they put their trust in Jesus and they're saved. Maybe one of you this morning needs to be saved. God opens doors to forgiveness. God opens doors to faith. So this door that we're looking at here is a door of forgiveness and a door of faith. What is a door? In this metaphorical sense here, it's an opportunity. It's something that you can go into. And God has given us the opportunity to put our faith in Jesus. The whole world is lost and in sin without Jesus. We all know the story, many of us, about Adam and Eve, how God created the world and it was good. And he made man in order to be in a good relationship with him. But man chose to rebel against God's one rule, which was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they ate the fruit, and then just like God said, they died and they began to die, and sin entered the world and suffering and death because of it. And people don't just die physically, but then they die spiritually. And there's a place called hell that people go to if they don't know Jesus. And Jesus came, and all through the Old Testament, we could get all into it about how God worked through the Old Testament to bring the Savior, the Messiah, to die for the sins of the world. He sent his only Son. No man could be perfect, but the Son of God was. He lived a perfect life in our place. He was persecuted by many people, and then he was persecuted to death. He died and suffered for our sins, the most terrible death. In Isaiah, it prophesied that his face would be like a face that you couldn't even tell that it was a man. That's what he took for us. The wrath of God was placed on him, and then he died. He gave up the ghost, and then it says he was in the ground for 3 days and three nights, and then he rose again, and he defeated death to where we can have life. The message of the book of Acts and of the Bible is that we need to repent. We need to turn to God and give ourselves to him, trust him to forgive us of our sins and give us life with him, and he will. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today might be the day for you that Jesus is working on your heart. He says, I love you, but you're a sinner. I want to change your life. And you might need to say, yes, Lord, I trust what you did for me. Please save me. Forgive me. He'll save you today. And then God will open all sorts of other doors to your life after you accept Jesus. But the door of faith was opened to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are people that aren't Jews. Now the Jews, they knew that the Messiah had come to them. But God had to teach them that the Messiah had come for everyone else as well. And in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 11, you see Peter getting taught that lesson. And then many of the Jews started to believe that the Messiah did come for the whole entire world, for all the Gentiles as well. But here, Paul is letting the people at Antioch know again that God has worked among the Gentiles and opened a door, and they have been saved. God had given them opportunities to hear the gospel from Paul and Barnabas, and then they trusted in him and Jesus, and they were saved. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. And you know, Jesus is still saving people today. God is still opening the doors of faith today for us to share the gospel. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul had to go and share the gospel with them in order for them to be saved. They had to hear the gospel. You can't trust in something that you've never heard. And they heard, God opened the door, and they had faith. God did the work. And I pray that in our life and in our ministry, that we will never say that we did such and such. I know that God uses us, so we might say things like that. But that our heart would be that God did it. And in your life, you need to live a life where you're surrendering yourself to God to use you every single day. Walking through the doors that God opens. And then whenever God does something amazing, you won't be able to take any credit. All you can say is God did it. Now, I'd like to share how I was saved, and then I'm going to let Sarah share some of her story about how God opened the door of faith to her and her family. And so we'll go ahead and get started. Okay, so on the first slide, you're going to see a picture of Texas Baptist Institute and Seminary. This is where I grew up. My dad was a preacher. I grew up in a Christian home. He was trained there at Texas Baptist Institute. And there was one night while my dad was serving as youth pastor at a church that I was with one of the ladies, Miss Annell, and she was teaching us about the gospel. And I'd heard the gospel from my family and from my church. I heard how Jesus died for me, and if I called on him, I'd be saved. And God was working in my heart that I needed to be saved. So that night we were on our way home from church, and I remember that my parents could tell that something was going on. They said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I need to be saved." And then my dad took me into the bedroom once we got home, and he opened the scriptures and he shared with me how Jesus died for me and made sure that I knew that I could trust in Jesus to be saved, and that I understood. And that night, I went to bed and I crawled up in the top bunk there and I prayed, "God, save me." And I trusted in my heart, and he did. Amen. He hasn't left me. He's been with me. He's been working in me. And he called me to the ministry. I went to Texas Baptist Institute and Seminary myself after high school. And then God began to work in my heart about Bible translation. I met Brother Chase and Miss Kelly Reynolds. But the Reynolds, they're Bible translators. They're missionaries. And I didn't know, I really didn't know that in the world that people didn't have the Bible. I knew that people needed to hear the gospel. But I didn't know that there were places where the Bible wasn't in their language. And that really pricked my heart. And I prayed that if God wanted me to be used in that, that he would lead me, and God did. I got to go and spend time with the Reynolds in 2018 and get to see Bible translation, and God continued to lead. And then after I finished school at Texas Baptist Institute and Seminary, I went to Dallas International University to be trained in linguistics and Bible translation so that we can go and do this work that God has called us to. So that's some of how God called me to Bible translation. It's a bit of a short story. It's the short version. Oh, next picture. Then the Reynolds, and then next picture. That's Dallas International University. So now y'all got the pictures to go with the stories, and Sarah's going to come up, and she's going to share about how God opened the door of faith in her life.
So I'm Sarah, like Matthew said. I was actually born here in Columbia. My family was living in Boonville at the time I was born. But I was born to my parents were Amish. But then when I was 9 years old, my parents got saved And they realized that salvation was by faith through by grace through faith, not by following the rules of the Amish church. And so my dad started reading the Bible and learning and growing in his faith. So then he spoke up about his faith and was excommunicated from the Amish church when I was 9 years old. And then we started attending a local Baptist church soon after that. And when I was in my early teens, I came to realize that I needed to be saved. I was dealing with a lot of anger. I was struggling. And I tried to be good. I tried to do better and just realized that I couldn't be better on my own and that I needed God to help me overcome. So I surrendered my life to God when I was in my early teens and was baptized. And then when I was 17 years old, I had just graduated high school. I moved with my family to Nicaragua. We lived as missionaries among a minority language group there. And God called me to stay there for 7.5 years to work alongside my parents there. And while I was in Nicaragua, God started leading me towards Bible translation. And in 2020, I started school at Dallas International University for linguistics and Bible translation. That's where I met Matthew. And then we were engaged and then married in September. So we're really excited about what God's going to do as we get ready to move to Indonesia and work on Bible translation there.
Didn't God bless me?
Amen.
Really? I mean, yeah. And y'all don't even really know her, but God did. I tell you, the Lord, you know, knew what I needed because I was praying that God would give me a partner to do Bible translation work. And then God gave me a wife that is able to do linguistics, able to do Bible translation, has lived in the jungle for 7 years already. And so God really took care of me. And I'm thankful for Sarah and God opening the door for us to be married. So God opens doors. And when God opens doors, we need to walk through them. We need to pay attention. Because one thing that you'll notice as we go through this is that God opens doors, but people need to walk through. This isn't saying that God doesn't shut doors. God shuts doors, and whenever he shuts them, we don't need to bang on them. We need to, you know, sit and wait till he opens another door. And sometimes we bang on them and he understands. We need to ask for forgiveness when we don't trust him. And then we need to continue to trust and pay attention for him to open the doors for us and walk through those doors. Now, the next passage that we're going to be looking at, if you just turn a couple books over, will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. So we have the door of faith and forgiveness being opened, and it's opened to all nations. And then we have that whenever God saves people and God's work is God's work, and we need to give God credit for it. That's our response. And in verse 8, we're going to see Paul telling about his plans for travel. And he says, "But I will tarry or wait at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door, an effectual," referring to the door, "is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." So what Paul is saying, that he's going to stay in Ephesus for a while because a great and effectual door has been opened for sharing the gospel, for work. So if you're thinking, okay, great effectual door, what is that? Well, it's you can take it to the next step, great and effective door. It's a door that's wide open for rich ministry, good ministry. Now, when you look at Paul's ministry in Ephesus, there are adversaries. You can go to Acts and go back to Paul's ministry in Ephesus, and there are adversaries, but there's a great work that God does. Paul is able to set up camp in a place and people are coming to him. Now, he went there and then God was bringing the people to him. And he was sharing the gospel with them. People were being saved, and people even that were, that town was really known for sorcery. And the people that were in that town that were practicing sorcery brought their books and they burned them in the middle of the city. Praise the Lord. People that were changed and saved and they gave up their own ways. They weren't trusting their old ways anymore, but they were trusting Jesus. Now, a lot of people in the United States, they're not practicing sorcery, but God does deliver us from things that we're trusting in. He does deliver us from our sins. And we need to trust him and throw those things in the fire. We need to leave them be when God opens up that door. So God opened up the door for a great and effective ministry. Now, do you think God's opening doors for great and effective ministry today? Yeah, so he opens up a door for you to be saved, but then he opens up a door for you to speak and for you to serve. And today he might be opening up a door just right as you leave and go to the restaurant for you to show somebody his love. He's going to be opening up doors for you to be able to share the gospel, to give out a tract, to talk to somebody. God opens these doors for us to be able to speak and serve in people's lives. And God does want to use us for that. God desires that all people be saved. And then he saved us so that we can share his love with others and his message of the good news of Jesus. And if you've been saved, then you have a testimony and a story that you can share. And God has a work for you to be able to do. On the next slide, you're going to see some statistics. So on this slide, you're going to see some information about Columbia, Missouri. Now, I'm not from here, so I don't know all these things. I just looked them up on Google. But what I was wanting you to see is the opportunity that God has for y'all here. Columbia is the fourth largest city in Missouri. Columbia is also the second fastest growing city in Missouri to Kansas City. And then also in Columbia, you have 126,000 people on the lower end, with the most recent studies that have been done. Some people even say 131,000 people. Now, that's a lot of people that are in your back door that God wants you to reach some of them. Amen. Now, we know that we're supposed to reach all nations. Well, did you know that God has brought some of the nations to you? Now, when you look at the slide, if it comes, you're going to see that 76% of Colombia looks like you. They're white. But you know, the other 24% are not. There's 12% black people, and then there's 6% Asian people, and 6% Hispanic people, and then the rest of the percentage is other. You know, so there are people here from the nations that you can be reaching. God wants to save every single people group. He wants people from all nations. He's not partial. He doesn't have favorite people groups. He chose Israel to work through them, but he wants to save people from every nation. And he's brought the nations to you. You should love people from every single people group, every tribe, tongue, and nation. Look for the nations that God has brought to you. You also have the University of Missouri here. And I think, yes, we got the slide. 31,000 students. Now, did you know that people come to the University of Missouri, and then are they going to live here forever in Columbia? No, they leave. And that's an opportunity. You know, people could come here and then see the witness of your church and your people, and they could be saved. And then they could leave, and they didn't just learn about whatever they came to study at the University of Missouri. They learned about Jesus. And you know, when they go, the Holy Spirit's with them and can use them in the areas that they go to. You have the Columbia College, and you see the figures of how many students are there. Now, this is just Google search, so y'all might know things better than I do, but this is, you know, what the research shows is the opportunity, the door that God has opened for you here. Because God has put you here for a reason. If he has you here, then there are people that you're supposed to share the gospel with. If he has you here, there are people that are supposed to be discipled, supposed to be raised up. At Ephesus, a lot of the ministry that Paul had was a teaching ministry, teaching people how to grow in their faith and to walk with God. It wasn't just evangelism, but it was discipleship. And it was discipleship through the word of God and God speaking. And, you know, we come to know Jesus through the gospel. But we grow in our faith through God's word. Now, the gospel is all through God's word. But God's word teaches us about who God is, what he's like, what he wants from you, how you can walk with him, come to know him more. Man, that sounds great. But think about if you didn't have God's word. You know, we talked about if your Bibles were locked up and you couldn't get into them. Think about if you never heard God's word. Many people around the world have it. And God wants you to reach the people here. But he also wants you to be involved like you are in reaching the people around the world. And he wants to use us in greater and greater ways. I looked on y'all's church website and I loved it. It was really good. I loved seeing the missionaries' names listed there. I loved seeing the newsletters. Y'all have a link. Y'all probably all know this. But y'all have a link to the missionaries' newsletters on your website. So if you're ever wanting to go and pray for your missionaries and know what's going on in their lives and be a part of what they're doing, you just go to your website and you can go to Matthew Thompson and click the link and then you can pray for us. Go to the other missionaries and pray for them as well. I love what Brother John is doing out of your church, reaching out to the blind people and sharing the gospel with them. I'm so thankful that he's doing that, because many times people that have these different disabilities and things are overlooked. But I'm thankful that your church is not overlooking these people. And I thank you, Brother John, for what you do in sharing the gospel with the blind people. Thank you very much. And we all have an area that God's called us to. And it might be our job, it might be the different places that we are, but God wants to use us to share the gospel in those places. Now I'll share a little bit about what God's called us to. On the next slide, you'll see that in the world, the unreached people groups in the world, there's 40% of the world. That's 3.2 billion people that will most likely never hear the gospel. Unreached people groups are considered people groups that have less than 2% of their population that are saved. So 98%, aren't. And so pretty much the 98%, most of them won't ever hear the gospel. There's not enough believers to spread the gospel throughout their people. And that's 3.2 billion people. Now, we need people to go and do Bible translation, but a lot of these people groups might have Bibles. And they need missionaries to come and live and learn their language, learn their culture, and share the gospel. Maybe God's calling one of y'all to go today. You know, there's also Bible translation. On the next slide, you'll see there are 2,000 language groups in the world with no access to God's word in their language. Think about that. If they wanted to know what God's word says, they couldn't. It's just like it's locked up to them. They could go and get one in a different language, another Bible in a different language, and they might be able to understand a little bit of it if they know that language. But if it's not their heart language, understanding it all will be very hard. And for many of them, they won't understand any of it. Man, does God desire for them to have his word? He does. Does God desire for everyone to be saved? Yes, he does. Well, then they need to hear the gospel. They need to be able to understand. Jesus said that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached to all nations and then the end will come. That's what God wants to happen. But how is it going to happen? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, that we're to go and to make disciples of all nations. So whenever we say, what about the people groups that don't have access to God's word? Well, God put us here to be partners with people that are going, and some of us to go to the people that don't have access to God's word. He could call someone out of your church to go. We pray that God will call someone out of your church to go. And maybe when you're praying, it might be you that he calls to go. I pray that God will call someone out of this church to go and to make disciples outside of the United States, to take the gospel to those that don't have it. In Papua, on the next slide, you'll see there are 150 language groups that don't have God's word in their language. There you can see where Papua is. And then on the next slide, I want you to look. What do y'all see? Trees. Do y'all see anything else? Mountains. Anything else? Light. That's good. Anything else? I want you to look really close. There's a little village that's there. Now in Papua, this is what it's like. You know, you'll be in the airplane where, like the village that Brother Chase Reynolds worked in. You had to fly 96 miles to get there. Then when the airplane left, you weren't leaving until the airplane came back. And that's what it's like. And when you're flying, you just fly over a sea of green the whole time. But sometimes you see these little brown spots. And those are villages where people live. And for years and years, they've spoken different languages in these villages. And they've been separated by their language and separated by the trees. And this place, you know, these different groups are hard to get to. And so the gospel hasn't made it to them, but God wants it to make it to them. God wants to use me and Sarah to take it to one of these groups. And we're grateful that we can be used in this way. But that's just answering a question. Well, how are there 150 groups there that don't have God's word? Well, that's how. And you know, many of them are small. I know one group right now that has a language that's totally alive. They live in two different villages only 300 people. Does God love those 300 people? He does. I've had people ask me, well, how much time, how many resources are you going to use to try to help one of those small groups have access to God's word? And I'd like to ask you, what did God do so that they could come to know him? He sent his son Jesus to die for them. God left the glories of heaven, his son, for us. We can go across the world so that they can hear the gospel. None of them are too small. Jesus said he'd leave the 99 to save the one. No people group, no person is insignificant in the eyes of God. God desires for them all to hear the gospel, to be saved, and to grow in their knowledge of him through his word. That's God's desire. On the next slide, I want you to see what it's like not to have God's word in your language, because it can be hard for us to understand. Now, we're talking about the open door that God has for us. God's open doors for us for effective ministry. And in Papua, many of these groups, we're going to have to wait till about 3 months before we're ready to even go work with one of these groups to try to figure out which group, because there are many of these 150 groups that want people to come to them. We don't want, 30 of them to get their hopes up that we're going to them. So we can't, from the time we get to Papua, be saying, which group are we going to go to? Who wants the Bible? Because we can't go to every single group. That's how it is there. There's a door that's open. But I want you to see what it's like not to have God's word in your language. So on this slide, Sabab dosam injerat kita kapara kamatian rohani. Sedangkan kalalu kita dersatu dengan Tuhan kita Kristus Yesus, maka Tuhan akan selalu baik hati kepada kematian rohani memberkian kita hidup yang selama lamanya. Now, do y'all understand that? Jesus, that's good. I didn't understand it either, but I just read it off the page for you. What I want you to see is that if you didn't have God's word in your language, it would be just like that. You wouldn't understand a word of it. Now, some people ask, well, don't some of these groups have the Bible in a trade language, a language that they use for trading and for pretty surface level stuff? Don't they have God's word in that language? And some of them do. Like in Indonesian, they have the Bible. But I want you to see what it would be like to have God's word in a language that was a trade language, not your heart language. For the wages of dosa is kamatian rohani, but the gift of Tuhan is hidup yang selama lamanya in Christus Jesus our Tuhan. Now, do you understand some of that? A little bit, but did you understand the parts you needed to be saved or to understand that scripture? See, that's what it's like when a language is only used for trading and not for deeper things, is that you don't understand the most important parts. Now, I'd like you to remember the great blessing that we have. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, isn't that sweet to hear? You couldn't understand it, then you understood a little bit, but then you heard it in your own language. You understood it completely. God wants to give that sweet moment of understanding to every people group all around the world. He lets us be a part of doing that. That's a huge blessing that God has given us. And I'm thankful for churches like yours that want people to have God's word in their language and that have got behind us and taken God's word to those who haven't heard. So God opens the door for forgiveness and faith. He opens the door to serve and speak. And then lastly, what we'll look at is in Colossians. So if you'll open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, we'll be in verses 2 through 6. Our main verses are verses 3 and 4. So Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and the main verses are 3 and 4. God also opens the door for us to partner with him in prayer. So verse 2, continue in prayers and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all or at the same time, praying also for us, for Paul and the people he's working with, that God would open unto us a door of utterance or a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds or in prison, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. So be wise when you're walking with lost people and redeem the time. Make the most of the time. Share the gospel with them. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, for our words to be how they need to be, and to be seasoned with salt, and for us to act wisely among those people that don't know Jesus, we're going to have to be walking with God ourselves. And we need God to be leading us and guiding us when we get the opportunity to share the gospel. We need to be watching for those opportunities, and we need to ask God to help us and then to speak, to show his love, to serve and to speak. Now, the part that we're looking at in this passage is verse 3. This is Paul asking the Colossian church. He's telling them that they need to pray all the time, be fervent in prayer. But then moving on from that, he says, while you're praying, would you mention to God to open the door for me to be able to share the word of God and the mystery of Jesus with others? I'm in prison for this, but would you open the door for God to let me to be able to share the gospel with more people? Now, God gives us as his people the opportunity to partner and pray for him to open the doors for missionaries and other Christians to share the gospel. Now, we need to pray for that. Now, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, gives the answer for the world's issue of not having enough missionaries. He says that we're supposed to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more workers, more laborers into the harvest. Will you join me in praying that God will send more laborers into the harvest? Pray for God to open up the doors. Go ahead and start praying for God to lead us to which people group we're going to work with. Pray that God would start taking down the strongholds of the devil that are there, the things that they've been believing for so long, that he would start to tear them down so that when we come in with the gospel, that they can believe and their group can be changed, that another group can be added to the number that no one can number. In the heavens, you know, in Revelation 7, 9, and 10, it says there's a great multitude that no man can number from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And you know, there are groups that aren't yet in that number. And God desires for them to be there. And we can be a part of adding people to that number. Now, we don't know for sure if, you know, one or two people are saved from the group that we're going to go to yet, but they don't have the gospel in their language. They don't have God's word. Pray that God would start to work in their hearts. Pray that God would send more laborers. Pray that God would send laborers out of your church. And we don't know where they'll go, but that's up to God. Pray that God would send people out of you. And we see this door opening for us to join in prayer for the gospel to go all around the world. Now, when you pray, you really are partnering with God in the work that he does in people's lives. When I was in Indonesia, we flew into the jungle, and like I said, when the airplane leaves, we don't leave till the airplane comes back. And our tank that catches the water was clogged. And so we were running out of water. And we needed rain bad. And it wasn't the rainy season, it was the less rainy season. So we, Brother Chase sent out to his prayer team, please pray for rain. And then, you know, we prayed and we went to bed that night. You know what we heard on the roof? Tick, 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 tick. And then, God brought the rain. And the people that prayed for the rain partnered with God in bringing the rain to us. God partners with his people whenever they pray. We partner with God when we pray for his work being done. Imagine the blessings that God will pour down whenever we pray for people to be able to share the gospel with. Imagine the blessings that God will pour out as we pray for opportunities to be a witness. Imagine what God will pour out when you pray for people to be called out of your church. Imagine what God will do when we pray for these opportunities. And you know, if you've never trusted Jesus, the opportunity is here today for you to call on his name to be saved, to give your life up to him. And he will pour out salvation. His Holy Spirit will come and live in you. He'll forgive you. He'll make you new. That's what God will do. Now I want to tell one last story. On the last slide, you'll see some pictures of Papuan people. I don't have a picture of the man I wanted to tell this story about. His name is Matthews. But The door of salvation was open to him. He's a Yetfa man, a man from Papua. His people group had recently gotten the scriptures or gotten some of the gospel in their language. They had the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation on solar-powered MP3 players. They had the key points in the story so that they can understand what God's doing in the world. And it had 50 Bible stories on it. So this man, Matthews, he was a shaman. And what he used to do is he would go around with his rock to people's houses that were having sickness or illness or any type of disease. Maybe their crops weren't growing or maybe someone had died. And they would go and he would pray to the demons, asking them what had happened to where this bad thing was going on. And that was his part in society. Well, the Christians that were there, they had had these recordings and they were going around and they were playing them in the different villages. And he was there one day and he went by and he wasn't very happy with what he heard, but he grabbed one of those solar-powered MP3 players and he took it with him. And he's hiking through the jungle. He's listening to that. Listen how God created everything, how God had a plan to save everyone, how God sent his son had power over the evil spirits, how his son died on the cross so he could be forgiven. He was listening to these things over and over. And then he came back to the missionary and he said, "I've listened to the stories," he said, "and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe and have trusted him to forgive me. I believe he has power over all the evil spirits. And I've thrown my rock in the river." He was saved. And then he wasn't just saved, but God opened the door for him to speak and to serve. He no longer goes around with his rock. He goes around with the solar-powered MP3 players. When people are sick and hurting and in bad spots, he goes to their house. And he shares the gospel with them and he prays to Jesus that they would be healed. God worked in his life, opened the door. He walked through it, and then he continues to walk through the doors that God opens. And that's because somebody went to him. But God didn't just use the person that went to him, he used him. And God wants to use the people that you're going to go to, and God wants to use you. What door does God have open before you today? Have you been saved? Have you trusted Jesus? Come, fall before Jesus for salvation if you haven't. If you have, he wants to open doors for you to serve. He wants you to get to know him more and more. He's given you his word in your language. You can understand it. You can study. You can come to know God more and more. Every single day when you wake up, God wants for you to spend time with him and his word and in prayer. And God calls on you to partner with missionaries going all around the world. And yeah, funds are important, but the most important thing is prayers. Pray that God would open the doors here and all around the world.